This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck, for the first hour. I want to first and foremost thank everybody for tuning in this weekend. And I want to, again, thank everybody for all the emails that I have been getting regarding companies and some of the interviews that I have been doing with all of our guests. To kick off this show, I am chatting with Axel Merk, and we are going to be looking more at some economic data and central bank comments that came out this week. First, Axel, I want to get your input on those inflation numbers that we saw out of the U.S. The CPI and the PPI both came in slightly disappointing, under estimates. This puts maybe a little bit of a settling on that inflation burn that we have been seeing. What was your takeaway from the inflation misses this week?
Well, without getting too technical, in some ways it was a non-event. There is this thing that the academics call the base effect. And basically, if a year earlier inflation numbers were particularly high or particularly low, then the year over the year inflation numbers, by definition, will be skewed one way or another. And so that caused inflation readings to be a tad higher than some people anticipated in recent months, or they shouldn't have anticipated, but they were. And now this number, because we're at the tail end of that, now inflation numbers are a little weaker. And so net, sure, initially the market, when the inflation numbers came out, took down rate hike expectations, but reverted then not much beyond that, half an hour or so, an hour later. And that's because the underlying theme hasn't changed. And then my take, and that's just my personal take, is that wage pressures in particular are gradually but significantly picking up. And all of this happens on the backdrop of very low unemployment, of a fiscal stimulus, and despite higher rates, we are still in the so-called accommodative mode. The Fed is still pushing the accelerator. It's just pushing it less hard. And in my view, that's inappropriate. And guess what? The market seems to be coming around to that. And as we're speaking, the rate hike expectations are at the cycle high for this business cycle.
Yeah, those job numbers that we saw two Fridays ago, especially on the wage growth front, were noteworthy. It seems like a lot of people were waiting for wage growth to start to pick up due to how tight the labor market was, and we finally started to see that. But again, so far that is just one example of what we've had. Let's see what the data comes out with next month. As you said, though, central banks still very accommodative, although you even said the Fed is still accommodative, even though I think you can easily make the argument that they are the most hawkish central bank. Let's first talk about the Fed and a Fed meeting coming up in a couple weeks where I think expectations are pretty much at 99% that we will see a rate hike. Everyone's already looking to December. Why do you still consider the Fed policy accommodative when they are unwinding the balance sheet and hiking rates?
Well, the Fed itself says it's accommodative. That's one reference point. More importantly, the Fed considers a quote-unquote neutral policy to be about a percent above the inflation rate. And so we are hovering around 2%. The neutral rate should be around 3%. And indeed, if you look at the long-term projections of the Fed, that's where they want to be. In my book, they have to go beyond neutral and have to start pushing the brakes. Because if you go continue on this for several more months, well, at this stage, you still have people coming from the sidelines into the labor market. But at some point, that's going to dry up. And that means they have to be more assertive in slowing down the economy. And by the way, the whole point of hiking rates is to make lending more difficult, to have the so-called financial conditions deteriorate. And we see that in the U.S., we have no impact. Now, we do see ripple effects abroad. We see emerging markets being influenced by rate hikes in the U.S., but the U.S. Fed is not in charge of what's happening in emerging markets. They're only in charge of that to the extent that it backfires to the U.S., and we see none of that at this stage. And so they'll keep marching. And in my view, they'll keep marching through that so-called neutral rate, because at that stage, we will have have, these wage pressures are not enormous, but they'll keep getting higher and higher and higher, and at some point you're going to have a mess on your hand. And my guess is that we'll get to that. To just contrast that, by the way, to the European Central Bank, and the European Central Bank, the inflation forecast for this year is 1.7%. For next year, it is 1.7%. Guess for the following year, it is 1.7%. That's despite a fiscal stimulus in many European countries, despite the potential spillover from abroad. Germany is breaking at the seams, negative interest rates. I don't buy it. And so, to me, there is a lot of catching up. And you say the U.S. is hawkish. Well, the European Central Bank isn't yet. But they also will have to do more than is currently priced into the market. At least that's my interpretation.
Okay. And we even heard from the ECB this week on Thursday talk about still their plan to potentially start hiking rates after summer, next summer, that is. Let's see if they actually follow through with that, because we have seen Draghi continue to kind of kick that can down the road. But you mentioned the disconnect that we're seeing in terms of U.S. and not just inflation data, also U.S. markets compared to what the European markets are doing, what emerging markets are doing, what Asian markets are doing. How much does this concern you, the overperformance of U.S. markets compared to everything else?
Well, before I get to that, let me just make a comment on Draghi. He is retiring at the end of next year, end of 2019. He has to leave. And both Bernanke and Yellen, at least in my interpretation, tried to tie up loose ends, wanted to kind of say, hey, I tie up my legacy. I start at the end of QE. I start the quantitative tightening. So there is just this human element that Draghi might want to hike rates at least once before the end of his term. I'm not saying he will, but there is a chance just because of that psychological factor. Clearly, yes, the U.S. markets, especially the equity markets, have gone gangbuster compared to the rest of the world. But let's not forget there's a fundamental reason. We got this amazing tax cut. Earnings are through the roof because of that, and the U.S. economy is on fire, right? I mean, that there's a good fundamental reason. Now, of course, at some point there's going to be something of too much of a good thing, and the rest of the world will catch up, or the U.S. will catch down one way or the other. But there are fundamental reasons why the U.S. is outperforming. To me, as an investor, it's a question of risk management. And so I'd encourage anybody to, quote-unquote, stress test their portfolio. Things don't work out the way that you hope it does. And I still allege that many people haven't rebalanced their portfolio. And if they haven't done that, well, guess what? Then the equity portion has run away, and they are way screwed in their portfolio and might want to do something, even if they're not negative on the markets in general.
Okay, I want to get your comments here on the gold market, because you did bring it up. We obviously talk about it quite a bit, and there's no doubt that there is a lot of pessimism in that market, rightfully so. Look at the way the prices have gone, not just for gold, but I think even more so for silver. That chart continues to break down. What do you think? The overall pessimism, the low sentiment numbers, the oversold conditions. Do you have optimism that gold is going to turn anytime in the near future?
Well, several things. So gold doesn't create a cash flow. And so when you get a real return on cash, that is one of the biggest competitors. Now, if you think that real rates are going to go up, then gold has a challenger. Now, that said, I think the Fed is lagging behind, and inflationary pressures are moving ahead, and the Fed is kind of playing catch-up. And so in that environment, gold is going to do just fine, I think. The other thing is, because it doesn't have cash flow, it happens to be a fabulous diversifier, at least historically speaking, and that is because when you have volatility in the market, in order to get the net present value of an asset, well, you discount the future cash flow, and guess what? Any risk asset is going to be discounted more than an asset that doesn't have the cash flow to be discounted. And that is why gold has not only outperformed, but has had a positive return in every equity bear market since the early 70s, with big exception of the bear market in the early 80s, where real interest rates were through the roof. And so as a diversifier from that point of view, I think many investors are looking at gold and see it as part of their portfolio. And then again, it's if you look at the overall portfolio, what do you do to diversify? Because it's great to see equities go up, but they don't go up every day. And so what are you going to do on the quote-unquote next day when they go down? And there, yes, cash is an alternative, and then gold can be as part of a diversification.
Axel, again, is the president and CIO of Merck Investments. Well, Axel, it's always great hearing your comments. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. And again, thanks for joining us.
Have a good one.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied. But you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day. Without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protected building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. Or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise at GCNlive.com.
Weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these next two segments, we're going to be focusing a little bit more on the metal sector. And in this segment, I am chatting with Joe Mazumdar. He is the partner with Brent Cook over at Exploration Insights. Everybody knows that newsletter and how much I respect what Joe and Brent have done in terms of, first of all, recommending and following key companies and also being one of those reputable sources to go to for this sector. Joe, we're going to bounce around to a number of different metal sectors that you're paying close attention to. First being gold. We keep on hearing about these oversold levels, the low sentiment, the COT positions where commercials are finally long and speculators are short. All these factors that are playing into some of the bulls saying we're due for a run here. I'm still a little bit skeptical, but I want to get your thoughts. What are you paying the closest attention to?
Corey, thanks. In terms of gold, you know, our whole objective in that sector was about finding projects that work at these sort of prices, at the 1200s, the 1250s, and then sort of emphasizing exploration over production and that. And if we did do production, we'd do low cost. Gold right now, what we've seen is, you know, your negative sentiment on gold, you know, a part of that, you know, we know that the assets under management have been halved. From about $54 billion in 2011 to about $30 billion. And that's probably directly related to the equity market being down by about that much from 2011, the peak of the cycle in gold, to now 2018. But what's interesting about, you know, just that drop is that in 2011, over 90% of those assets under management were actively managed. So out of that 54 billion-ish, 50 billion was actively managed. But now we're sitting at about a third of that being actively managed. So about 10 billion. So that's almost an 80% drop in actively managed funds. So that probably has something to do with what, you know, when we talk to a lot of these companies who can't get any money and don't know what institutional equity is doing and don't want to waste their time in Toronto anymore, that's probably some of the issue is that, you know, the smaller pie is obvious because of the reduction in the value of the equity. But what's interesting is the amount of pie that's allocated now to active has greatly been negatively impacted. And so when we look at the equity side in terms of the market, we're still looking for those companies that have a chance of finding the kind of assets that industry still needs, because all we see are flat production profiles and people trying to replace reserves. And so, you know, like with Evrim Resources, with their Quali project in Mexico, they were looking for a private placement, and they were looking versus equity with institutional retail versus a strategic investment. In the end, they got a strategic investment by one of the largest gold producers, Newmont Mining, and it was at a significant premium to where they were trading. And so if you can find an asset that sort of makes sense for a major that they think has the potential to be something that they want to acquire, you'll still beat the market right now, and it's a great way to show value and make up for those valuation gaps because of negative sentiment.
Which I think is really the strategy, I agree with you, that all investors need to be taking, is looking at where these large players and these large companies might be making their next move, because in the recent past and still right now, they continue to be really the major players that are still injecting some money into the sector, at least making some deals happen. We see that on the private placement side as well, don't we, Joe, where there doesn't seem to be a huge retail component in private placements, and there are a few large players, large money guys that are still quite active, but overall, it's a thin market. So the focus really needs to be on high-grade economic resources. And you said something interesting there on low-cost exploration. What does that mean to you? Is that re-looking at historic drill holes that haven't been brought up to current standards, or is there a different stage of low-cost exploration that you guys like?
When we talk about low cost, like most exploration companies, grassroots exploration companies, juniors, have a hard time looking for, let's say, big copper assets, because in the end, these drill holes could be a kilometer deep and might cost, you know, depending on the location of the drill hole, you know, up to $0.4 million per hole, all in. And that's hard for a junior explorer to maintain, and so they might look for a joint venture partner quicker than somebody who's looking to drill out and delineate an open pit gold resources, which obviously would be much near surface, and maybe that's something they could do. You know, the trigger point for a joint venture partner may be different depending on the company, the asset, where it's located, but it's got, and the underlying has to be that the asset is something that a major is interested in. A major or a mid-tier, but a producer is interested in, and is located in a place that they want to work. And what we've seen, the trend in the underlying M&A over the summer, as we've been seeing, you know, some gold assets being acquired, you know, Northern Empire by Coeur Mining. We've seen some copper assets being acquired, you know, Galore Creek by that 50% stake in Galore Creek was purchased by Newmont, and that was owned by Nova Gold. And also we're seeing some copper assets being acquired in Serbia by Zijin Mining. So what we're seeing is a trend of people going out, purchasing assets because they understand the fundamentals of the market, that they need these assets. And so underpinning that is these assets will get acquired because these guys need them. The market, the retail market in that might be oblivious to that, but the industry understands that. So if you can find the assets that you think that the industry would want, then that gives you a bit of a an asymmetric risk profile with respect to downside risk, that there could be an underlying bid there by industry eventually for an equity portion or for the entire company.
Okay, so Joe, let's talk strategy then. Say you find one of these assets where maybe it hasn't been noticed by the broader market, or quite frankly, is just starting to get noticed. What is your strategy? Are you out there net buying right now? Are you holding a larger cash position? How are you playing this?
Well, we've changed our portfolio somewhat over the last 4 to 6 weeks to take advantage of some companies that we thought were undervalued and could see an M&A bid or a trigger in the next, let's say, 12 to 18 months, and we'll just hold it. So we have been doing that. Others we have been letting go because, you know, we were buying it based on exploration success, but we found out that, you know, through drilling and the work they've done over the last 12 months, it just hasn't come to fruition, and so we've sold some of those.
All right, Joe, we're going to leave it at that for this segment, but I think that is some of the best advice right there, is if companies aren't living up to your expectations, don't try to hold on to them for too long. Try to rotate that money into stocks that you think do have a good opportunity. Joe and I are going to be right back. We're going to be talking some other metals, including base metals and lithium. Everybody stick around. We are going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. preparewithgcn.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customers. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing with Joe Mazumdar. Again, Exploration Insights. Definitely check out that website. Joe, let's now talk about base metals. Base metals have really taken it on the chin, which includes copper, where a lot of people were getting quite optimistic about copper. But really, when these trade war fears started to hit, it has had an impact on the base metals. But the argument can also be that slowdowns outside of the U.S. could also be blamed for a pullback in base metals. What do you think are some of the main factors driving this more broad sector?
Well, I guess, I mean, the thing is that the trade wars, especially the one potentially between China and the U.S., have a great impact on a lot of commodities and copper, especially because a lot of the growth in copper since, you know, the beginning of the 2000s has been led by China. And so if China is not growing demand for copper by making products for internal consumption, then those tariffs that would impede their ability to export to the U.S., you know, the great U.S. consumer, and if that impacts their demand for commodities, that will obviously impact prices and supply and demand. And so a lot of that uncertainty is being embedded in base metals like copper, zinc, nickel, what have you. With respect to copper, what we have seen is the industry pick up these assets that they know they need to acquire because there's not a lot of these long-lived assets and jurisdictions that people can work in. And so, you know, we've seen Zijin Mining buy RTB Boer, which is a big mining and smelting copper complex in Serbia. And just 2 days later or less, they also announced an all-cash bid for Nevsun Resources, which was right then under hostile bid by Lundin. So they came in as a white knight and took that one out. So now they've got quite a big, they've gone from zero to having quite a big footprint in that area. And so we do own a prospect generator in that area that we're hopeful now with the interest reignited between having two companies with limited funds between Nevsun and the Serbian company to do things in Serbia. Now you have an operator now with Zijin Mining with deep pockets that might do more in that district, and that might attract other people to come in that district. I know Freeport's already there and Rio Tinto. So we see that with copper, and we also see that with Newmont Mining. Newmont Mining, who've lost copper assets to Indonesia, Batu Hijau through the divestment, and also through social license to operate issues in Cajamarca in Peru, lost reserves at the Conga mine, Minas Conga mine in Peru. So they needed to replete their reserves in copper, and what did they do? They bought 50% stake in the joint venture with Teck on the Galore Creek from NovaGold. And so we see these assets being acquired. And so we are still fairly keen on acquiring copper, especially in undervalued companies.
So, Joe, in all fairness, in the copper sector, there just aren't that many more companies still out there. There are these large companies, and all the small explorers have, for the most part, dried up and washed away, which makes it tough for, I think, the investor to further isolate some of the good companies. How are you dealing with this now much more limited stock availability to invest in?
Well, I mean, I guess the adage of keeping your powder dry is important, because in exploration, you never know when you're going to hit that drill hole and find something you weren't expecting. And so we're always aware of that. And so on that part of it, on exploration, we keep our eye out for copper plays that have the kind of grade in that kind of just jurisdiction that can work. And then we also want to be in the jurisdictions where we think people want to be, because the trend in the M&A has... One solid trend has been into jurisdictions that companies are comfortable working in. With Newmont, Coeur, these companies that are doing some of these acquisitions, the tendency has been in places like Nevada. We've seen things like in the Yukon, Alaska, and British Columbia. So these kind of districts, Canada, United States, Australia. These are the places, if you can find something there, you will get a premium, because some of these other jurisdictions, some of these people are having a bit of difficulty with. I mean, we can talk about like Argentina due to this the current crisis in Argentina that's forcing them to go back to the IMF and leading them to impose an export tax on anything that leaves the country, and that's right now impacting all the miners. So for anybody that's in Argentina looking for joint venture partners or potential suitors, they'll all have to already be in Argentina and have a comfort level in that country, because right now I don't see a lot of people coming from outside into Argentina. And we already know what's happening with the Congo, with their changing the mining laws there to increase the tax structure. So there's a lot of all these other places that are very prospective for copper, but not very encouraging for multi-billion dollar mining investments.
Yeah, fair comment there, Joe. Let's switch it over to lithium. Lithium drew a lot of attention a couple of years ago as we saw more of these battery metals get attention and cars switching more to the electric vehicle demand. There's been some issues with this whole lithium play. We saw a lot of companies switch into lithium a couple years ago, and now they're all switching out of it. But what do you think? Some of the key factors at play for lithium, what should investors be watching?
Well, I think the underlying for the electric vehicle demand is real. I think that is real. The issue right now is with the trade tariffs, and you know, if the manufacturing of cars is in China, then they actually get exported into the States. That's going to be an issue for, you know, the manufacturing of these EV vehicles. So that's taking a hit. So lithium is taking a bit of a hit on that, or at least lithium sentiment on the lithium market. Originally, in the beginning of the year, the issue was a near-term balance, where we thought we would have more deficit. The deal that SQM, one of the leading manufacturers of lithium based out of Chile, made a deal with the government on the Corfo entity on producing more from their Salar de Atacama lithium brine that basically helped their production cliff. So that added more production over the near term. It's not going to solve the long term or the medium term issues for lithium, but it will definitely have a positive impact on the balance in the near term. And so then the issue was, okay, are we balanced? Do we need any more production now? And so then the price basically stopped moving up and probably took a bit of a hit. But what we've noticed is with the growth, embedding growth into lithium projects, what we've seen is a lot of these lithium projects usually don't end up coming on when they say they're going to come on, and they don't come on with the same some kind of the capacity that they think they're going to come on. And so those kind of delays usually mitigate the forecasts of a positive balance in the lithium market. And right now, recently, we saw with SQM and their joint venture partner, Kidman Resources, on their project in Australia around Mount Holland, that permit may not be given because they didn't meet their minimum exploration expenditures to maintain their mining license. So that could either be delayed or something more drastic could happen. And so what we see, that's just a small example of how these things can get delayed.
All right, Joe, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but you and I are going to continue this conversation just a little bit longer, so anybody who wants to hear the full version of this segment, come visit our website, kereport.com, click on the weekend show posting, and check out segment 3. In the meantime, everybody stick around. I am going to be right back with, I think, an important company update from some very impressive drill results that were released just a couple days ago.
You're listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Long-distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for Sunshine Pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra-long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find Sunshine Pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. We are getting a company update from Skeena Resources and the president and CEO, Walter Coles. Skeena is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol SKE and on the OTCQX under the symbol SKREF. Walter, why I wanted to highlight this Skeena resource or the Skeena drill result was because of the fantastic headline numbers that we saw. This release came out September 11th, which said Skeena intersects 43.39 grams per ton gold equivalent over just over 27 meters at Eskay Creek. You and I haven't talked too much about Eskay Creek, so that's what we're going to focus on in this segment. First, just take us through this drill result. I know that it is a lot of this infill drilling, and you're testing some of these historic drill results, but this is a great result. Please take us through what it means for the project moving forward.
I guess I'd start by saying it shouldn't be a surprise, the drill results that we put out, because we were drilling in an area that has already been drilled historically. We need fresh core for metallurgy, and that's why we're drilling in that area. Well, that's the first reason. Second reason is the drill density in certain areas is not sufficient to support an indicated or measured resource. So it would be inferred, and it needed some infill drilling. If you had looked at our corporate presentation over the last couple months, we've included cross-sections that have historical drill intercepts that are of the same tenor of what we just put out, and that's why, again, I say this shouldn't really be a surprise. I would call it more of it's a reminder, intercept, a reminder to what an incredibly high-grade mine SK was. When it was operating, it was the highest grade gold-silver mine in Canada at the time. So it's a phenomenal asset that still has significant areas of mineralization left. And I think that's what that headline should be reminding people.
So I went through some of these cross-sections, and you are right, there was high-grade discovered over some very nice widths throughout this project, but some of these areas that you did also drill, and I understand that 21A and 21C, both of these zones did have some prior drilling in it, these grades match some of these historic drill intercepts. What does that mean in terms of what was left behind after all the mining was completed?
Well, you got to remember that over the life of this mine, the cutoff grade on the direct ship ore was 30 grams per ton, and the cutoff grade on the milling, the ore that was sent to the mill, ranged between 12 and 15 grams per ton. So, the obvious deduction is that, my gosh, there's probably material amounts of gold and silver left that, you would expect might have a grade of, maybe 8 grams or 9 grams per ton. That's why we went after this asset, was what wasn't economic then, we think at today's gold and silver prices, plus the improvements in infrastructure in that area, could be very economic in terms of what's left there now. And that's what we're out to prove. We'll have a resource out here imminently that will quantify what the amount of gold and silver that's left, and also the grades of that remnant mineralization. And let me add that, look, gold exploration is extremely risky, right? It's like, how much money is spent drilling holes that don't hit anything? Like, to me, it's all about risk mitigation, and that's why I like the strategy that we have, which is go after things that we have very good odds that they're there, and very good odds we think that they'll be economic, and then we layer on top of that the sort of blue sky upside exploration.
Well, I personally like the strategy as well of going after something that was producing at such high grade, because there's always some material left behind, but when you hear about those cutoff grades that you outlined to us, that means that there's the potential for much higher grade stuff to be left behind because they had such high cutoff grades. Now, one thing that I do want to touch on more specifically about this news release is you broke down this 21A, 21B zone. There is also this 21C zone. It was a bit technical, this news release, so can you simplify some of the similarities, some of the differences that you're seeing in these zones, please?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to put it in layman's terms, the areas that we're really interested in are the 21A, because the remnant mineralization there, we believe, would have open pit potential. The same thing for the 22 zone. There's not very much drilling there, but the drilling, did hit interesting mineralization. It wasn't above the historic cutoffs, but in today's world, it would be very attractive. So those 21A and 22 are areas that we see as having grade and size to be good potential for an open pit mine with, let's say, a strip ratio of probably like 3 to 1. And then the 21C, there we think there's significant mineralization left with good continuity. The difference is the 21C is in the rhyolite, and the 21A and the 22 is in the mudstone. So, I won't go into all the details of the implications from a geology standpoint, but those are probably our three primary areas of focus right now.
Okay, so in terms of the resource that is coming out very shortly, it's based pretty much all on this historic drilling that you had available to you. What zones is this going to be coming from?
It's everything. So it's based on the 700,000 plus meters of drilling that were done during the periods of exploration and mining at Eskate Creek. So this is an all-encompassing resource estimate that we will be putting out. The way we prioritize things is we're starting with the precious metals content. So the resource that we put out will be focused on the gold and silver. And then a step two will be to look at the base metal potential in the property. The areas that we've identified for this resource are, they do have some base metal content, but it's not huge, but there are other pods of, let's call it just base metal rich deposits that exist on the property. And we will be trying to quantify that as a step two. So, just to summarize, step one, identify how much gold and silver is left and what's the grade. Step two, identify how much base metal content is there based on the historical drilling. Step three is undertake metallurgy, which we'll be doing over the winter. Step four is then take that metallurgy and apply economics to this mineralization that we see that's left, and you know, possibly put out a PEA. And then step five is, what can we do to enhance the overall package? You know, what can we do by way of exploration? We think there's tremendous exploration potential in this property, and so we want to come and do you know, cover off the blue sky potential here with more exploration.
This is clearly an interesting and unique situation where you're at, where I know people are looking at this project and asking, well, just how much was mined from Eskay Creek in the past? And now, just by pulling out some of these drill holes, you are, I think, proving that there are still a lot of, well, some at least, resources still available. In terms of maybe how you want to leave the investor after we are also going to see the resource, what do you have to say to those maybe skeptics that say a lot of this was already maybe mined out?
Well, I just say it's not. Like, I'm definitively telling you, there's lots of mineralization left. And, you know, after we get our resource statement out, I would encourage all the investors to do a little comparison. Like, look at the amount of ounces, you know, Skeena will have, not including what we'll put out on SNIP next year at some point. Look at the, I would suggest that investors should get out a, you know, a pen and paper, write down our resource quantities and include the GJ Spectrum project in that, and then do a comparison with our market cap versus other, you know, peers that we have in the, you know, in Western Canada, and, you know, do a comparison, see which companies do they think are undervalued and which companies are overvalued. And I would argue that Skeena today is massively undervalued, and I'm saying pro forma for a resource that we haven't put out yet, but it's coming. And, you know, that's my suggestion to everybody, is do the math.
Hey, I'm excited to see this resource, and it's something you and I have been talking about. You've continued to drill some nice holes over at SNIP, and now Eskay Creek is going to at least be the focus, at least for a little bit, when this resource comes out. You guys have been busy. You're going to continue to be busy. I'm encouraged to see these results, and now I think everybody will be able to get a good understanding of what still is around when that resource does come out. So, hey, Walter, I do appreciate that update. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Walter and his team, please email me at fleck@kereport.com. In the meantime, when we see that resource, we will be following up. Walter, have a great rest of your week, and I do appreciate everybody tuning in to the weekend edition. I hope you all have a great weekend, and I will be back with everybody next week, as it has gotten a lot busier ever since Labor Day finally ended our slow summer. Thanks again for your time, Walter.
Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down-home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com, that's gusset.com, or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.